They track right there, M4A4 with the Cartier 4x4 remix. You are listening to RDU Breakfast, and I'm now so excited to be chatting Goat versus Tortoise with Mark Turnside. Good morning and welcome to the show.
How are you doing? Great to be here.
Oh, so pleased. How are you feeling this fine Wednesday morning, hump day?
Oh, it's good. This is rehearsal day, so midday. All the whole gang's getting ready to rehearse and sing the songs and get ready to make some music on Saturday.
Yes.
So this is, hump day. It feels like a weekend.
Truly. And you must be so hyped for Goat versus Tortoise coming up at the end of the week. So how does it feel now that the day is slowly but surely approaching before we get to talking about what it actually entails?
Oh, man. So it's super exciting. It's like me and my friend Will Alexander, we've been thinking about this and writing this musical for 4 years. It's so exciting to finally bring it to the stage and make Christchurch more colourful.
Yes, indeed. It's all happening at the Cashmere Club this Saturday, December 4th, you know that. But what can we expect from the musical itself? What's it all about?
So basically, it's a musical. I'm very much inspired by rock operas, proto man, '80s sort of storytelling through music, and also Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals, Broadway, like trying to just engage people with senses. That's music, costumes, dancing, acting, and trying to make Goat versus Tortoise. It's a story about conservation, based on a true story, in the Galapagos, there were tortoises living there for thousands of years until humans irresponsibly introduced goats to the island. And that's the story, that's what it's about. And basically, the goats rapidly expand and they consume the environment. And not to mention that tortoises live for 150 years, whereas goats live for 15 years. It's about change, nature, the environment, and the humans characterize as the Department of Conservation. This is, again, true story. New Zealand dock workers went to the island to basically try and save the Galapagos. What they did was they ended up deciding, do we kill the goats or do we let them stay? Are the goats part of nature? And with goats on the island, in my story, we'll try to anthropomorphize the tortoises and the goats and tell their story. Look at it from, like, what's the goat's perspective? The goats have been there for 10 generations. They think it's their home, and suddenly the humans decide, no, you're not meant to be there, and you are going to be culled. And the tortoises have been there even longer, and so they're deciding, the tortoises, they've been there for thousands of years, they live a very long time, and they've figured out that if they consume only what they need, there can be enough for all. And meanwhile, the goat, of course,
takes so much.
So much more resources, and I'm trying not to be too on the nose with any sort of metaphors for capitalism, but the goat's growth and freedom and consumption is, the driving philosophy, whereas the tortoises is all about, like, we all cooperate, we take what we need, and
I'm looking forward to it. Sounds so cool. It sounds Aesop on acid, honestly.
I'm very excited that we actually have tortoise outfits. We've got these
spectacular.
It's just fun, and it's meant to be something that, like, you can come along to, you can get a lot out of it, you get a little into it. I'm trying not to squeeze too much into the plot so it's not just too incomprehensibly confusing and just a giant fever dream trip.
It sounds fantastic. Ecology and economy. I'm excited to understand the intersection between these two things. And there's such big conversations, especially from this year. How has just COVID-19 and the hellspawn year that 2021 has been impacted the behind the scenes of Goat versus Tortoise?
Yeah, good question. Well, basically, COVID's meant that events, live events, are different. So you're always trying to like keep up with compliance, mm. and you know, I couldn't book out the bigger venues that I wanted to run the show. So we're going to smaller venues, so it's seated and compliant. And part of it has meant that I've been sort of working on for, you know, this show and more shows next year to try and seek out sponsorship, to try and just plug any back end. Because I think me and the team, we do it for love, but I do believe that like art and creative projects, you want it to be financially viable as well. Mm. You want to dignify the team with payment, and but also to let people contribute, because sometimes, in life as a professional artist, you've got things you do for fun, things you do for money, things you do for experience and growth, and there's all sorts of different sort of artists often get exploited in this dynamic where you've got the managers in the industry commodifying you and saying, hey, do you want to have a fun time being an extra on a set of a movie? You can do it for free because it's a great experience. And basically, COVID's made me focus on sponsorship, patronage, and also trying to think about a digital strategy. Mm. With patronage, whether it's Patreon, yep. Substack, or like my own platform. The value of content, it's like the live. There's no substitute for real live immediate work.
You're right.
And stuff that's made for the internet is often just watered down to capture 10 seconds of attention.
Mm, for sure.
So I do want to publish things online, but I also want it to be really like something that people really like, enjoy, seek out, to surprise them. That's sort of my sort
yeah.
of,
I get you. Something to sink their teeth into. Something meaty.
Something meaty, and not just, oh, look at me, I finally, you know, I'm an artist and I made something, pay attention. I want it to be like, this is actually for some people. Mm. It's for an audience that they'll go there and hopefully have the expectations.
Mind-blowing idea. Yeah. So you've mentioned the team, Willow Alexander is one of them, but what was it like working with your team of creatives and how did you all come together?
Basically, Will and I have been on and off working on this for 4 years. John Bain and Dominic, Don McGurk, we've been doing little lounge workshops of several versions of the script for the last year and a bit. Amber Carly Williams is an awesome singer-songwriter. I've helped contributed to her music, and she's contributed to my music. She's playing a role and singing some songs as well. It's a really good team.
Sounds like, yeah, for sure. After 4 years of writing, how has it all developed, and how has Goat versus Tortoise changed from its inception to now?
Well, because originally it was based on the story, tortoises on the island, goats come along, they eat the habitats, the humans decide, oh no, we need to save the tortoises, so they kill all the goats. And then what they do is they, because you've got to kill all the goats, you can't just kill 80% of them to do a proper dock conservation effort in the Galapagos, so you need to, they had a very creative strategy, which was quite dark, where they got a female goat, sterilized her, pumped her full of pheromones so she's always on heat, to then let her loose with a GPS collar around her neck, and this goat would lure out all the remaining goats in the caves that were hiding from the helicopters, and the dock workers would go out on foot with 22 rifles and shoot every goat that approached the Judas goat. They were called Judas because she betrays all the other goats.
Of course. Wow.
And every day for a year until every last goat was dead except for the Judas goat. And my, you know, the story which has persisted to today is basically saying, what on earth is the experience of the Judas goat? Mm. How does she feel? And what was her life before? And what is her life after when she becomes the Judas goat? Since in the last 4 years, I've basically decided to give her a bigger backstory where she is characterized as a real estate agent and a corn farmer who basically took advantage of government subsidies and a booming real estate market in a very benign, unthinking way. It's like she's not malicious. But when she is suddenly confronted with this absolute destruction and death and sort of this hellish life after the goat apocalypse, how you call it, the death of all the goats, she contemplates and says, am I being punished for my unethical
waves, participation,
and this high growth market economy. And I'm trying to tread that carefully because I've got some good friends who are real estate agents and also farmers, and they're lovely people. And there's no malice. It's simply like a system of incentives that lead society and the environment in a direction.
Mm.
And the truth is, like, sometimes, there's this difficult decision and where you need growth, otherwise people die of starvation, but the growth is the thing that destroys the world.
A vicious cycle, yeah.
You're dead if you do, dead if you don't. I'm trying to portray no particular villains. I'm trying to show, without confusing people, I want them to leave saying, it's not simple, and I don't want them to leave having their previous view just being affirmed, like, oh, yay, Mark is
gotcha.
pro capitalism and growth or anti-capitalism and growth. I want people to go and everyone to be challenged.
Yes, expanding on questions further, which just is so fascinating, and it's something that I love about alternative arts. So just how important is it that we have arts in our city, especially at this time of year, after the year we've had?
That's a very good question, and basically it's more important than ever. Like, art is so important, and it's like in terms of like the community, there's private. I'm trying to encourage, well, myself, yeah, I'm an artist and I want to make more art, but I also want to like create space and let people know there are opportunities to either seek funding, both public and private, Creative New Zealand, or just to seek out patronage. It's like, you can make things. You don't need to be given permission. You can just make things. And when you make things, it doesn't have to be for everybody, but like, just trust that it's for somebody, or make it for somebody, so that you can have a crush which can be full of eclectic art, not just boring, one-size-fits-all, giant, mass-market art. And it's like, when you look at the funding, the public funding, in Christchurch City Council, for example, majority of the community funding goes to these big ticket items run by big developers, and very small amount of money is actually given to small creators. So it's like, I think there's a lot to be said for like, it's very cheesy to say democratization, but like letting people know that they can make stuff ground up as well as top down.
So
wait for permission.
Be your own catalyst, and making art for yourself too. Those are some big conversations, and I feel mind blown already, and this is only the interview, so I can't imagine how Goat versus Tortoise, the actual event and musical, will be. So thank you so much for coming on to the show, Mark. Let me know about the sponsors of Goat versus Tortoise.
Oh yeah, so basically we're super excited to have Crafted Coffee Company as a main sponsor. Full disclosure, that is my coffee company. I've been making coffee for a long time on Blenheim Road, 121 Blenheim Road, and also we do coffee courses, teach people how to make coffee. It's like coffee, having coffee with friends, it's community, it's coffee makes you feel awake and able to create things. So Crafted Coffee Company, I've always put time, energy and money from my business to drive art, my art and other people's art. So support Crafted, and also it's also a Cherny production. Cherny is my creative business. So thank you so much for hearing me out.
Oh, 100%. Am I right in saying you have 5 tickets to give away?
Yes, I certainly do.
Gosh. Well, people should text in then at 021-RDU985, 021-738-985, and text in the venue of Goat versus Tortoise, because I said it only once at the start of the interview. And the first 5 people that text in, I'll send them their way, if that sounds all right.
Oh, that's super awesome. Thanks so much.
But where can people get their tickets, and where can people find more info about Goat versus Tortoise?
GoatVersusTortoise.com. That's GOATVS Tortoise.com. GoatVersusTortoise.com /tickets. And GoatVersusTortoise.com. You can buy tickets from the website, $20 or $25 on the door. And 6:30 this Friday, this Saturday. Saturday, not Friday. Saturday, 4th of December.
Yes, so good. Thank you so much again, Mark Chernentai, for coming on to the show, and all the best for Saturday.
Thanks so much. Catch you later. See ya.